This is the Honest Brew Podcast. Here's your host, Ben Heisler.
Welcome in, everybody, into The Honest Brew. My name is Ben Heisler. Glad that you've decided to join us today. Our guest is the longtime Major League outfielder, Gabe Kapler, who's always been an entertaining guy, and now you will get to enjoy him on your television set as long as you're one of the 90 million-plus people that will have Fox Sports 1. And their debut is on Saturday, so if you're listening on a Friday night, it's tomorrow. If you're listening on Saturday, congratulations, Fox Sports 1 has now taken over your television set, and you can enjoy their content. And they're going to be a lot of fun. If you recall back from a couple months ago, we had one of their new Fox Sports Live hosts, Jay Onwright, and Gabe is going to be a part of their baseball crew. So we're really looking forward to talking with him. But before we do so, a couple ways you can get in touch with us. You can go to thehonestbrew.com and check out some of our latest stories, articles, videos, so on and so forth. We have a post up about Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad and a little bit of commentary on when he was on The Price is Right. And this was years ago. This must have been like in 1997, 98. This was 15 years ago, and the video resurfaced and it sort of became viral again. He actually talked about it on Jay Leno, I think, a while back. But the video came back, and we thought we'd have some fun with that. So that's up, and you can watch Jesse Pinkman. He actually resembles more of Jesse Pinkman than he does of Aaron Paul, just the regular guy. He's jacked up on so much Red Bull, and he can't believe that he's actually talking with Bob Barker. He treats him like his hero, and it's actually quite funny. So you can find that up on thehonestbrew.com. You can also find us on iTunes in the podcast directory, and if you do subscribe to us in iTunes, we ask that you rate and review us. You can go to Twitter. Hello, twitter.com/thehonestbrew is where you can find us, and if you want to follow me, you can do so at Benny Heiss, and also facebook.com/thehonestbrew, and we encourage you to be Facebook friends with us and also like us, and that way you can stay in touch with everything going on with the site when our latest articles and podcasts are posted, so on and so forth. My guest this week played in the majors for 13 seasons, played with the Tigers, the Rangers, Rockies, Red Sox, Brewers, and the Rays. He's worked in the Rays front office, managed for the Red Sox Class A affiliate in Greenville, South Carolina, and he's now scribing it up for multiple baseball outlets with NESN, Baseball Prospectus, and beginning this weekend, you will soon see his smiling face in crystal clear, high-definition television up on Fox Sports 1, and please do follow him on Twitter, at Gabe Kapler, because you will surely be entertained. Gabe, what's going on, man? How are you?
That was quite an introduction. I'm feeling full of myself right now, sticking my chest out a little bit further, and my chin is nice and high.
But here's the problem. If you stick your chest out any further, you're just, like, already going to knock somebody over, man. Like, I try and stick my chest out, and people are just like, what are you doing? You look silly.
It's true. Okay, I'll suck it back in then, just to make us on equal footing. How about that?
That seems fair. And by the way, like I have no problem with the sticking your chest out. I'm the guy that when you're taking a photograph at the beach, that's kind of how I have to go, because otherwise people are like, well, I don't really want to see your photographs from the beach if that's what you're going to look like. So it's okay. I think it's perfectly acceptable.
I'm thinking that men taking photographs at the beach is never a good thing, no matter how you look.
It's true.
Like, you're showing a picture of yourself at the beach. It's problematic in itself. I went down that road. I've been there. There's incriminating photographs of me at 20 years old on said beaches, and I can assure you it's not flattering, and it gets worse as you get older.
But you know what? You were smart when you took those photographs. You know, you're like, you're 20 years old. You're in your early 20s. If you did them like 20 years from now, like, have you seen those like diet commercials, and like the 70-year-old has like the 6-pack abs, and all of a sudden like he
it's
was
weird.
Like, yeah, isn't it? And like, you know, when grandpa can, you know, arm wrestle you to the ground, aren't you a little bit concerned about that?
It's totally weird. I can't quite tell what's weirder, though. Like, the woman who starts getting Botox in her 20s, and then you see her at, like, 45, and she looks just like Plastic Woman, or that dude from the pictures that you're describing, Grandpa, with a six pack, which is equally strange. It's just, we just live in a strange society where people are doing whatever it takes to be younger.
Yeah.
We have that sentiment right now in Major League Baseball, unfortunately. So I think aging gracefully and appropriately is one of the more desirable attributes a human being can have.
I agree with you, man, because I think anytime, and I think there's something that's kind of wholesome about seeing somebody in their 50s or even in their 60s who looks appropriate to their age. And sometimes it's nice to see, like, oh my God, she's 52. God, she looks incredible. But then there's also times where you go, wait, she's 52? But she's been getting work done since she was 25. Like, what are you doing? Just go with the natural flow. If you do a decent job of taking care of yourself and you eat right and you don't shove down Krispy Kremes down your gullet every day, chances are you're going to look like a normal human being. And I think people have forgotten that, you know what, that's probably okay.
Natural is always good. Now, granted, it's not the easiest thing to do. Like, really, we're human beings,
right?
And we sort of inherently and naturally want to look our best. So I think it's okay to a degree. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, if you can just age gracefully, naturally. My dad's a really good example. I look at him and I'm just stunned by him. He's in his 70s. He's almost 75. He looks like an older man, but you know he carries it with gray hair. He carries it, you know, with a bald head, and he carries it with wrinkled skin. You know, but he looks great, and I love that about him.
Right. So you're not going to have Keith Hernandez and Walt Frazier knocking on his door anytime trying to promote him with the Just for Men. He's going to go like, you know what? I'm good. I appreciate the all for Walt and Keith, but man, I'm comfortable in my own skin, and that's nice.
Yeah, we look up to that, but on to bigger and better things.
Yes, absolutely. I'd feel terrible if this podcast went the whole time and all we did was talk about lifting and sticking out your chest. But you're a busy man, Mr. Kapler. You, as I said before, you're writing for numerous outlets, and you know, you're doing some work for us here at MLB Network Radio, and now you're breaking some ground over at Fox Sports One. And yeah, obviously it made sense. You know how to talk. You're a smart guy, and you work well on television. But can you give me a little details on how everything came about, how they approached you, and sort of what they're ultimately going to be having you do?
Sure. I mean, I think the process was organic and normal and natural in that I had the only place I could work in television is Los Angeles, first and foremost. I have two little boys. They're 13 and 11. I'm devoted to being home for them. So I didn't have any interest in going to work on the East Coast, and that eliminated some of the giants.
Right.
And that said, you know, Fox is right here in my backyard. They are a company that is putting together a spectacular team of producers, talent, and executives, and going to be a real player. I wanted to be a part of that team. I had I was approached by a friend, and he said, "Hey, would you be interested in auditioning?" I said, "As long as I can stay home, I'd love to audition." I went in and auditioned, and you know, I got the gig, and I'm excited about it because I love talking about baseball. Their theme and their sort of energy is said to be just fun and light. You know, there's not going to be a whole lot of, I don't know how in-depth it's going to get, but from the rehearsals thus far, it's been really enjoyable, fun, light banter. You know, and I get the depth from my writing. So I'm able to get as deep into a topic as I can possibly get when I sit down to write, which I absolutely love. So it's nice. Radio gives you a chance to get a little bit further, and then writing, I think, gives you the opportunity to really flesh out a topic. So, and they're all super valuable and all necessary in the world of media.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And also hearing your excitement, and I also read that article that you did over at D-Rays Bay. You're talking about how they're a network that's uniquely positioned to capture attention of sports fans in sort of this new, progressive, exciting way. And as a viewer, I mean, that's awesome for people to hear because they want the people that they're watching, the people that they're connecting with, to be sincere about what they're doing and to ultimately want to make a great product. And I mean, that's got to be a really exciting challenge for you as well, knowing that this is a brand new project, a new opportunity, and here you get to go in full-fledged and really have some fun with it.
It is, and I think, again, I'm going to focus back on the fun. There's a lot of, like, clubhouse banter style. So if you watch NFL Today with Bradshaw and Long and all those guys, they have an extraordinary rapport. And they talk about football, but they're just a bunch of dudes sitting around a table talking sports,
right,
for all intents and purposes. And I think that's sort of what is getting designed at Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports Live, is a show with substance that brings you good content, but also doesn't take itself too too seriously. The two hosts that were brought in, or the anchors that were brought in, are absolutely hysterical.
Yeah.
They're going to bring more of a comedic twist to the way highlights are done. And the talent, like I said, is really, really uniquely positioned to make an impact.
Yeah, you're spot on, too, about Jay Onwright and Dan O'Toole. And actually, Jay, while he was in his final days over at TSN, hopped on The Honest Brew, and I got a chance to talk with him. And God damn, what a good human being. And he's going to be...
Was he funny?
Oh, God, he was hysterical.
He's a funny guy, man.
Yeah,
cool.
He's great, and I just saw that they started to pick up their podcast that they had going on before. They're great. Has Regis Philbin mistaken you for, like, a football player or forgotten your name yet? Because I feel like that's part of the culture with Regis. Like, he goes and just forgets people and who he's working with, and then at some point it comes back, and he's just Regis Philbin again.
Yeah, I've been joking that Fox hired two new people, me and Regis, and the two of us are equally famous, and that, you know, I barely knew who he was. Now I haven't even been in the same room with him, so I imagine that it will be an interesting experience, just given his history, his background, what an impact he's made in television. You know, spectacular human being from everything that I've heard, warm, and so I'm looking forward to spending some time with him, and maybe just picking his brain on what makes him great or what has made him great.
He's a legend for sure. If we can, I want to get into sort of the early parts of your career for just a bit,
and sure.
you're someone who was a 57th round draft pick in the amateur draft, and so from that point forward, you're already playing catch up with a ton of guys just in that draft class, and then from there you went on to Fayetteville, North Carolina, correct?
I did play in Fayetteville, North Carolina, which was an extraordinary experience, just being from Los Angeles.
I worked there, actually. I worked in the summer of 2009 for a summer collegiate league. You know, I was their broadcaster. And Fayetteville,
wow.
Man, that's a place.
It is a place.
That's a place.
It is a place. But you know what? You know what you learn, though, Ben, is you come from Los Angeles, you end up in a real deep South.
Yeah.
And Fayetteville is. I mean, you know, you can make an argument that Savannah, Georgia, is more, you know, more the South, or Texas or Arkansas, wherever it is that you consider to be the South. But any of those small towns,
mm-hmm.
Anywhere south of North Carolina and south, you feel like you're in a really different culture, and sometimes in some ways going back in time, specifically in Fayetteville, and in 1996 it was even more so. So I got to know a different culture. I got to know Southern food that way. I got to know different sorts of travel. I did a lot of walking as we went on road trips, and I went to look for places to work out. I'd find a gym and a phone book in Durham or Raleigh or Savannah, Georgia, or wherever I was, and I'd walk to the gym. So I got to know the cities by traveling in them, and that's one of the things that I'll never forget, and I take great pride in.
Yeah, it's certainly a place, and at least, you know, you're going to be able to find a workout buddy there, because it's based over with Fort Bragg, the Army place there, and the Army base.
Good point.
And so you always have a spotter.
Yeah, you know, no question. If you're interested in weight training, you know, you're going to find somebody to weight train with. I mean, that's sort of true of any small town like that.
Right.
It's just the small town atmosphere for me, and what I learned in minor league baseball, is that people are generally friendly, caring,
sure.
Warm, and welcoming, and they're going to make it easier for you to do the things that you want to do than, let's say, if you're in New York City or Los Angeles, when there's just, you know, a bit more pretension.
Oh, no question about it.
Or pretentious behavior.
Sure. And you and I were probably one of the 20 Jews over the course of, you know, the last 20 years that's come through Fayetteville, and you got a chance to sort of explore for ourselves and sort of have that experience as well. And I guess on that subject, I was flipping through the Gabe Kapler Wikipedia page. So I'm sure you're familiar with this, but when you were in Boston, you got to come out on the field in the ninth inning, and it was you and Kevin Youkilis and Adam Stern. You guys were all on the field. And apparently that set a record for the most Jewish players on the field at one time in American League history. So if I'm you, I'm sprinting out there, you know, and I'm like, you know what? Suck it, Jewish sports heroes pamphlet. We just set a record.
You know what I always joke about, Ben, is you know, if anybody ever knows who I am, if I'm walking down the street, anybody ever recognize me, they're either from Boston or they're Jewish. And that's my demographic. And so we killed two birds with one stone there. You know, it was the Boston Jews that were just loving the fact that Stern, Youkilis, and myself were all in the same field at the same time. We ended up signing tons of memorabilia in association with the photographs that we took. It was a fun time. And you know what I found from a very young age in baseball is that the Jewish community rallies around anybody that's willing to associate themselves with that community. Because the population is so small.
Right.
And so the baseball and so these Jewish baseball fans, they need people to look up to. So if Ian Kinsler, even though it's just his dad that's Jewish, for instance, they still call Ian Kinsler a Jewish baseball player.
Right.
And rightfully so. I mean, they want to latch onto their heroes and lift them up and put them on a pedestal. And for a player, that always feels good.
Oh, for sure. And also, you're someone who has always been an active member of the community, too. And, you took a lot of pride in growing up Jewish. And you actually got to coach the Israeli World Baseball Team, which also had to be a thrill.
That was very cool, and there's a number of reasons why it was cool. But first and foremost, I got to share the coaching platform with Sean Green and Brad Ausmus.
Yeah.
And then one of my close friends, Matt Martin, who's not Jewish but has had a long history in baseball, made a pretty big footprint for himself. He was Yasiel Puig's first manager in the Dodgers system. Now he's a Latin coordinator for the Orioles. But he was on that staff with me, and so it was nice to share that platform. And then just to be a part of the first ever Israeli World Baseball Classic team. That team, we were the best in the tournament that we played in. We should have come out of it. We lost to Spain. That team was not as good as our team. We had a nice collection of talent. The criteria for selection was ridiculously generous. you could have like a drop of Jewish blood on your grandmother's side, and that was enough. But we did have some full-fledged Israelis playing. One of them was named Shlomo Lipitz, and he had a full rabbi's beard. It was awesome. What a cool experience that was.
There you go. I actually was looking for my Shlomo Lipitz card. I was going to see if you might be able to sign it. Can you imagine that, just having a Shlomo Lipitz card and just like all the Jewish community hanging on to that for dear life? Because you know that's going to be worth something.
It's got to be. And if nothing else, it should be a nice bar mitzvah, like, gift bag insertion.
Yes, actually.
If your name is Shlomo Lipitz and you can't make it somewhere, I mean, that is just the ideal name for a Jewish star of some sort.
It's so true. We're talking with Gabe Kapler here on the Honest Brew podcast. So I was talking to my buddy Jeff Joyce, who I produced a show over at MLB Network Radio, and this was when, did you see the Royals, Kansas City Royals fountain lady, who had a few too many cocktails and started to wander in the fountain and just made a nice little spectacle of herself? Did you see this?
I did not see the video. That sounds good. That sounds good, though. Send it my way.
I will. It's up on Deadspin. And for someone who patrolled many different outfields over the course of your career, I'm sure somebody had to run on the field while you were out there. And I also heard from Joyce that when you were a kid, I think you got away with it one time.
Yeah, he told you that story?
Not on the air. It was not an on-air story. I figured I'd save it for this.
Yeah, no, there's two. Okay, so two little bits and pieces. Yes. Okay. I've been on the field when people have been running around on the field, and I've basically kept my arms folded and stood looking stoically straight ahead without giving them any sort of – yeah, well, and also you don't know what's going on in their mind, so you want to stay away from it.
Right.
But as a kid, as a 14-year-old, myself and one of my close friends, his name was Greg Zutler, and I think it was right around 14, like we were in our freshman or sophomore year, we just got a wild hair. And we had our high school jackets on, our Taft High School jackets on, and we were sitting in the stands, and we're like, let's do it. Let's run on the field. We were able to get into the Dodgers dugout, sit down
Holy
next
shit.
To Mike Marshall, who was the right fielder. Daryl Strawberry was in the dugout. These guys were looking at us like, what in the world are you doing? And Mike Marshall was like, you guys probably want to get out of here. I'll tell you what, the greatest part about the story is that we were able to get run out of the dugout, off the field, into the stands without ever being confronted by a security guard.
Oh,
so we were able
God.
To run on the field into the dugout, talk to the players, run off the field, away from the dugout, up into the stands, and take off without ever being caught. That's remarkable.
I think just purely on that, when you were getting scouted in high school, they should have given you like at least a 70 speed, based on getting away from all the security there.
They had the stopwatch on me, and I think they had me at like a 6.5 60, so of course.
That's an incredible story.
It was awesome, Ben. It was one of the highlights of my life.
Oh my God! And now, you know, imagine if you were that same age and you did it now, and there would have been like 1,000 videos, and someone would have found out who you were, and then everything would have happened, and it's a totally different scenario at this point.
I still feel like, why is that not caught on camera somewhere? I still don't get it, like how we were able to pull that off. And he and I had talked from time to time. He's not a close friend anymore, but, you know, we talk from time to time, and we just marvel at the fact that we were able to get onto the field. And nobody saw it. Like, no, we didn't have any friends going, yeah, you guys did it the next day or anything like that. It was literally like it went unnoticed by the world. So I question my own sanity from time to time. Like, did that really happen?
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, it was fun, and we'll take it for what it was worth.
And maybe you can go back and maybe you can find the old Vince Scully call. And there are two youngsters, and they're going into the Dodgers dugout. It's my horrible. I can do a Harry Carey Vince Scully. It's just I embarrass the man, so I really shouldn't do that anymore. Couple more questions for you, Gabe, but before we let you go. You're someone who's been very active in your writing about how players need to become more familiar with advanced metrics. And we're starting to see a slow trend, but more so with front offices rather than players. And that makes a lot of sense because you want to get as much information as possible. But then, you know, you have your counterpoint, the TWTW Hawk Harrelson type of mindset that, you know, it starts to get in your head. And when you're a player, you're just trying to improve your weighted on base average rather than just getting hits. Can you help us help Hawk here? Like, when can we really start to see a transition for more and more players starting to become not just aware of advanced metrics, but understanding how it can help and be beneficial for their careers?
I've thought a lot about this, Ben, and I think there's multiple ways to implement, you know, sort of an educational program where players understand advanced metrics better. The one that keeps popping out at me is finding the leaders on the team. And when I say leaders, I mean the guys that people respect within the clubhouse. And it might take a member of the sabermetrics community approaching them and talking about the importance of educating the players. And the guys that pop out for me are guys like Max Scherzer, mm-hmm. You know, Sam Fold.
Brandon McCarthy.
You know, there's guys around the league. Say that again?
Brandon McCarthy of the Diamondbacks?
Yeah, McCarthy. McCarthy's another great example. And then just encouraging those guys, and even maybe to the point where you might get a company that might want to, you know, give those guys a little bit of incentive to be the leader. Because if there's a kid in the corner that, you know, says, hey, you should listen to this X, Y, and Z, people aren't going to be as receptive as it would be if it was a charismatic leader in a clubhouse.
Sure.
So I think it starts with finding those leaders and empowering them to sort of talk about it more publicly within the context of the clubhouse, teach a little bit more. It's not going to come from analysts, I don't think.
Right.
It's going to have to come from within the organizations, from the members of the front office that are most respected, the coaches that are most respected, and the leaders on the team, the players that players look up to.
I really hope that's true. And before I let you go, joined by Gabe Kapler here on The Honest Brew. You and your wife have some awesome work with the Gabe Kapler Foundation. You're helping out abused families and educating on domestic violence and really helping those who have suffered from it. Where can people go to read up, to learn more, make a difference? Where can they find out more information?
For right now, we don't have any presence. It's been quite some time since we've been actively speaking. We were in shelters in Southern California for a long time. We were providing grants for a while, but we've taken a hiatus, and it's not due to anything other than bandwidth.
Sure.
So what I would encourage is just for people to continue to have conversations about domestic violence as much as possible. Continue to call out men that, you know, use domestic violence as a way to express their machismo or their bravado, and just be outspoken, not be scared to talk about it publicly. I would say that would be the most applicable, immediate action that somebody can take at this point.
Please do follow Gabe Kapler on Twitter, at Gabe Kapler, and watch him on Fox Sports 1, because if it's anything like this interview, he's going to be fantastic. This was so much fun, and I'm glad you're able to make some time, and I wish you nothing but the best, and look forward to working with you at the channel very soon, my friend. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I look forward to talking to you soon as well. Thanks a lot for having me.
Thank you, Gabe. That's Gabe Kapler. We'll take a quick break. Be back with more Honest Brew in just a second. Our thanks to Gabe Kapler for hopping on the brew today, and that was fun. And you're going to hear plenty more of those types of stories from Gabe, and you're going to see him on Fox Sports 1. He's going to be great. And I really have no doubts about it. And I'm excited about their network. It's just nice to see something different. And whether or not, you know, there's some people that are concerned that it's going to be too fun and too lighthearted, and people are still going to want some hard-hitting information. And the nice part is it's something that reminds me of what Gabe said, is that, you know, through writing and through long form articles, you can find a lot of that. And sometimes it's difficult to find that type of work on television. You're trying to keep everybody's interest, and you can only do so for so long. And a lot of what television is designed to do now is to keep things very quick and moving and engaging. And I think they're going to be able to do that. It's nice to see a challenger to ESPN. And I certainly wish them well. There's a lot of good people at that station, including a shout out to a longtime friend and former Honest Brew contributor, Kristen Carroll. So we wish you nothing but the best and good luck. One final thing before we go, and let's actually transition to another network, and that's NBC Sports Network. And as many English Premier League fans know, that they're going to be the new home for English Premier League soccer. And I know nothing about soccer or football or the beautiful game, whatever people want to call it. I'll watch the World Cup and I'll have a good time with that. But per usual, Joe Posnanski, who's just a wonderful writer over at NBCSports.com, a longtime baseball writer, decided to help people like me out. And a couple days ago, he wrote an article up over on NBCSports.com about how to pick a Premier League club to root for. And it basically sort of plays into, well, you know, here's how you can take this English Premier League team and find something relatable to it. It's like that scene in Road Trip where the two guys are talking and he's trying to figure out, you know, how to study for the test that he has a final in. And his friend goes, well, you just have to make it relatable. Like, what's something that you like? And he's talking about wrestling. He says, okay, so I think it was like Greek philosophy. And he was trying to find a way to relate Greek philosophy back to wrestling. And so in a sense, Posnanski finds a way to do that with the Premier League clubs. And I went through the list. I'm like, all right, this is interesting. I know I don't want to root for Manchester United because a lot of people sort of consider them to be the Yankees of Premier League soccer. And you know, there's Manchester City. There's Chelsea, Liverpool. There's sort of like the big four. And I knew I didn't want to root for those teams, especially if I'm just sort of going to watch casually and try and become a fan. And I came down to two teams. I came down to Everton, which is out in Liverpool, which is in Northwest England. Their nickname is the Toffees, which I do enjoy toffee, so I like that. And also Tottenham Hotspur, which is based over in, I believe, the northern part of London. The colors are pretty much the same. Everton is blue and white. Tottenham is white and sort of like this, it's not really sky blue, but it's not really neon blue either. It's just sort of a smorgasbord of something in between. And Posnanski breaks it down into the colors, location, nicknames, stadium, the American connection, sort of realistic hopes and expectations, why you should and why you shouldn't be a fan, their cool celebrity fan, and their American comparison. So I evaluated these two teams, and I said, okay, I need to base it on two criteria. One, I like the importance of a smart front office. I like people that are ahead of the game and can look for that next advantage. And the second part is I wanted sort of the ultimate fan experience. If I ever get a chance to make it out to England again, and I went when I was a youngster, but if I had a chance to go back again, I want to go to a game and know that it's going to be just a great, fun, memorable experience that I'm going to be able to have for the rest of my life. You have to remember where I'm coming from in the casual fan sense. So, you know, the fan aspect, the fan experience aspect is a little bit more important to me in this sense. And I evaluated between the two, and because Tottenham sort of does everything well, including the front office side, they're going to be my new adopted English Premier League team. So I'm officially a fan of the Tottenham Spurs. So I apologize to all of you who are listening or is like, really, that's what it came down to. This is your evaluation. Go. Congratulations. Go Manchester United or whatever team you root for. But I am now a Spurs fan for Tottenham. Not San Antonio, but Tottenham. And there you go, and that's the most amount of English Premier League soccer I'll probably ever talk. But I'm really excited to watch it, and you'll be able to watch it all on NBC Sports. And so I encourage you to check it out. And basically the whole point of this was, sometimes there are sports and activities and things that you may not know a whole lot about, but then you read out more and you find out a little bit more about what's going on, and it intrigues you. And it's just about finding an opportunity to learn a little bit more than you have before. So I leave you with that. Thanks again to Gabe Kapler. Thank you all for listening. My name is Ben Heisler. We will be back again very, very soon here on The Honest Brew.